It's been quite a week, quite a week. It has been a busy, busy week. Who had a busy week this week? And a lot of people who are raising their hands, some of those are VBS folks, right? VBS made this week pretty busy, and we thank all of you guys who came and helped out with VBS. I think it went smooth. Sandy did a great job. Paul did a great job. I think Julie gave a whole lot of extra time. There was a lot of you that gave extra time, and it was 100% worth it. It went smooth, but it makes the week pretty busy. And, my week, it just seemed to get busier and busier. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you guys have evil thoughts. Brett, I don't know why you were stressed. You were in the snack room the whole time. And that's basically true. But, well, there is no but. But with that, we also went to Association Camp. You took a good group up to Scotland to Association Camp, and we had a good time. So I went up there and visited them some, and we went canoeing and tipped some canoes and threw some rocks and did all that good stuff. So I was doing VBS at night, a little bit of Association Camp during the day, and getting ready for the sermon. And so during the week, it was just like, God, I need some help. And there were multiple times where I just felt like I had to get away and just relax and concentrate, just because it was like, man, it just seems like my life is getting busier and busier, and it just keeps getting busy. And you might be thinking, Brett, I don't know why you think you're so busy. You got no kids, you got no lady to spend your time with, so what do you do? But I promise you, I do have things to do, and I am busy. And it seems like there's a trend that we just keep getting busier as a culture. There was a survey done by Daytimers, the little planners and calendars that we all get. And they did a survey, and they said 85% of us consider ourselves too busy, meaning we regularly feel rushed, we feel like we are never finished, and we are frustrated that we can't get what we want done. We feel rushed, we feel like we are never finished, and we can't get what we want done. See, does that describe your life? Just rushed, can't get what you want done. The survey says it describes 85% of us. See, when there's more stuff for us to do today, we try and cram more stuff into our lives. And when, we've been given more tools to do work, more work is expected of us. And when our children have more things to do, they expect more money to be able to do those things. And when we now have cell phones, PDAs, and now the new iPhone that came out this week, we're expected to always be available. Always be available. And it seems like our lives just keep getting busier and busier with this thing. And when our lives get busier, that means our spiritual lives will tend to get busy. And so what that means, and looking back at the survey, apply that to your spiritual life. Does your spiritual life sometimes feel rushed? Does your spiritual life seem like things are never finished? And does your spiritual life feel like you can't get anything done or accomplished? See, on Sunday mornings, we'll come here and we'll hear Matt, and he'll give us a great motivational message, and he'll just tell us, and I'll hear a message, and I'll be like, all right, yes, let's go do this, I'm pumped. Thank you, Lord, thank you. I realize now, hello. Fell out here. We'll go this way this time. There we go. So, we listen to Matt, we listen to his messages, and it's like, God, thank you. All right, and let's go and let's do this. And then we start out our week, and then we have our agenda items for the week, and we start doing all these different tasks. Then we come here on Sunday morning, we sit in the pew, and all of a sudden it's like, what happened to last week? What did I really get accomplished this week? Did I get anything done? Because it just seems like, God, where did the week go? Because I wanted to do something for you, but I just got lost in the task. And it seems like, God asks so much of us. We got to pray, we got to read our Bible, we've got to serve other people, we've got to come up and do VBS, we got to help old ladies cross the street. And, with all these things that God asks us to do, when a God who says it is finished, we sure do have a lot to do, it seems like. And with that, it comes to a point where at times I feel like I'm always maybe just a step behind spiritually. There's just times where it's just like I'm one step away from just getting things under control. where you just feel like, hey, everything's great, my spiritual life, things are wonderful. It seems like sometimes I'm just one step away or just one step behind, and you've got everything, you know, balancing pretty good, and you got everything just hanging there, and you're juggling everything, and it's all balanced, but if just one little thing comes and interrupts you, it all just kind of comes smacking down. And then at that point, it's just like, God, you know, give me something. Give me something to do. Give me a task to make this better. Give me a task to make this more normal. Help me to work. Help me to work this out in my life. And, you know, through the last couple of years, God has shown me something that has been helping me out. And I want to share that truth with you guys this morning. And that is the truth that environments matter in our lives. Environments matter. I'm not talking about like going and hugging a tree matter, but like your situation in life really matters. And we can see this in everyday life. It's pretty obvious in everyday life. The Kansas City Chiefs do better in Kansas City than they do in Denver, Colorado. Why? Because environments matter. All right? Because environments matter. Because people will go there and they will scream their heads off for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the environment matters. All right? Birds fly south for the winter because environments matter. All right? I've seen them. I've lived in Texas for a while. The birds, they're all over the place. All right? You never park under a tree in Texas. It's not good. You never do that. All right? And so environments matter. All right, BBS workers, everybody came up and they, you know, they decorated all their rooms to look like sports arenas, and they spent all this extra time to come up and decorate. Why? Because environments matter in our lives. And it's just like, you know, and we can see that it's just like, okay, yeah, environments matter. But like in my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I tend to just completely ignore environments. I tend to just think that they don't matter whatsoever. Environments, what? I just kind of act the same throughout, and so I'm kind of situationally stupid. Do you ever have friends? Like, I have friends who are just, like, the same through and through. They are, like, situationally stupid. Like, we could be watching a football game together, and he'll be so excited. He'll be like, Brett, what's up, buddy? How you doing? Great to see ya. Yes, this is a great game. And he will act the exact same way at a funeral. Like, he is just the same person through and through, and like, it doesn't matter what situation you're in, you can kind of go up to him and kind of give him hints and talk quietly to him. It doesn't matter. He's the same person. And, you know, within that environment, like, it doesn't matter what environment he's in, he's kind of just the same person. And God kind of showed me, it's like, Brett, you're spiritually, situationally stupid. Is that English? I don't know. But spiritually, situationally stupid. Like, there are times in your life, Brett, where it's just like, it doesn't matter what environment in. You don't care. You just kind of act the same way, and you don't even acknowledge the environments. All right? But, you know, do environments really matter? Because, you know, it sounds pretty good and sounds pretty religious to say, hey, I'm going to be the same no matter what. It doesn't matter what environment I'm in. I'm going to be the same person. That sounds pretty good. However, in the Old Testament, there are constant examples of God using different environments. And God saying, hey, environments matter. And we're going to take a look at those. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy. That is the fifth book in the Bible. And Deuteronomy 6 was a very, very popular passage in that day. They loved it. They had it memorized. They used it all the time. It is like the John 3:16 of their day. They knew this passage backward and forward. They always used it. They always quoted it. It was their passage. And in verse 4, it kind of starts out with talking about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And goes on to say, you know, and impress these thoughts on your children. And, you know, I carry them with you throughout where you go. This is a passage that's really popular, and I want to look at verse 10 through 12. Look through those. Verse 10. And it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." See, what he's saying right there is, in this environment, and to this environment that I'm sending you, the promised land, he's saying you need to be careful that you do not forget. This environment, this promised land, is going to influence you guys to forget. It's going to be a danger that you guys forget. And so you need to, you know, beware. Be careful. Are there any environments in your life, all right, where you need to be careful? See, this passage really hits home with me. And hopefully it should you too. Because when I read it, I find a lot of similarities between that promised land and where we are today. See, because we are celebrating this week America, all right, where we have freedoms, where we have houses, where we have cars, where we have everything that we need. And this environment lends itself to forgetting who provided this stuff for us, who provided the food for us, who provides our cars, who provides our boats, who provides our houses, or in my case, a sweet duplex, all right? Who provides those things? God is the one who is the provider in our lives. God is the one who is the provider. However, our environment can lend itself to forgetting this great truth. It's a warning, and the Israelites needed this warning, and we need this warning to be careful about the environment that we are in. North America is the only continent where the church is not growing. The only continent where the church is not growing. And I think a lot of that has to do with our environment and not heeding this warning of, hey, beware, be careful. You're going to get all this stuff and it's going to be great and I'm going to bless you. But beware that you don't forget who is the one who is providing it for you. And see, all these temptations come. Why? Because of the environment. Is changing. And so the environment affects them. Let's turn to another passage. Turn to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. And it's a harder one to find. In that book, in chapter 1, Jesus is upset, and he's upset with Israel. They have acted like a prostitute, basically, and that's kind of the illustration. They have turned to other gods. They have given their lives to other things. They loved evil, and basically they've fallen away from their relationship with God, their love for the Father. And in chapter 2, God kind of talks about a strategy, basically. Chapter 2 is basically the strategy of how God is going to bring back his people. All right? And he talks about different things that he's going to do. But the thing that he talks about, the verse that we're going to look at, is talks about how God says he's going to use an environment, an atmosphere, a situation in life to bring them back to him. Look at verse 14, chapter 2. Verse 14, and it says, "Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her." I can remember a time in my life where I just really felt like nothing was going right. The things that I enjoyed in life no longer satisfied me. I was in pain. I was frustrated. I wanted someone to help me through it, and it seemed like there was nothing. And I was frustrated. I was mad at God, and I wanted him to give me the things that I wanted. And it seemed like nothing was working, and the situation just seemed pretty hopeless. And then God led me to Hosea, the book of Hosea. And in that, God showed me and he said, "Hey, Brett, look at this and look at this verse." And he showed me this verse and he says, "Hey, don't be unaware of an environment that I put you in. Know that I put you in this environment for a purpose." All right? And God showed me, "Brett, you're in a desert right now for a reason." And so when I was aware of the environment that God had put me in, then I was more aware of what I should do. Because I read verse 14, and you know what? When I was aware of this environment that I was now in, I was aware that, you know what, now it's time to listen. Because of verse 14. And it says, "Therefore I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her." So I started to hear the voice of God, and I started to listen because I realized where God had me. Because I was trying in so many different ways to make my life filled with purpose and seeking so many different things, and God just kind of brought me to a place where nothing was going to make the difference except Him. And you know, you might be in that desert place right now, but what God is doing is using a certain environment in your life to lead you into a certain direction. And so obviously we could go throughout the whole Old Testament and talk about different environments and how God used these different environments to work in people's lives. In Deuteronomy 6, he says, "Hey, look at this environment. It is dangerous. Be aware of this environment." And here God uses, in Hosea 2, God uses it as a tool to draw people to him. And so we could go through and look at all kinds of different passages. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, God uses different environments to bring about different effects on our lives. And different environments can bring about different effects on our lives. For example, like if you did not grow up in a Christian home or in a Christian family, that's going to have a certain effect on you. And, you know, you live with some of those effects today. And if you grew up with maybe someone who came alongside of you and mentored you, that's going to have a positive effect on you for the rest of your life. Or if you grew up in a church that had a strong youth ministry, that's going to have an effect on you. Where you live will have an effect on you. What type of house you live in has an effect on you. Your environments affect you and shape you. All right, and that sounds kind of doom and gloomish, kind of like, "Oh my gosh, I'm just influenced by my environment, you know? I'm just a pawn, you know, we're just products of our environments. What can we do? You know, I'm just helpless. Hey, sorry. I know this doesn't look so good here, but that's just a product of my environment." You know, we can't say that. Why? Because, you know, just for a perfect example, Deuteronomy 6, what we just read, because God gave us the warning to be careful. That means we can do something about our environments. That means, you know, this environment that we live in America, that doesn't mean that we're just simply hopeless. You know, it just simply says, be careful. Be careful. And so with that, you know, we can do something about our environments. We can shape the different environments we are in. Turn in your Bibles to Mark. That's the last time I'll tell you to turn. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And in Mark 1, Jesus is having a very busy day. He starts out the day by casting out a demon out of a man. And that just kind of makes the day a little bit more busy. Because people have noticed this in the town, and they've seen what he's done. They've seen what Jesus is capable of. And by the time the sun went down that night, the whole city had come out and said, "Hey, heal this, heal my sick." And so the whole town was out there saying, "Hey, heal this person. Help my person who's demon-possessed." And so the whole town came out, and so Jesus spent time with all of them. That's after the sun went down. And so Jesus had a busy day, and then you get to verse 135. Jesus goes to bed. He wakes up the next morning. And Mark 135, it says, "Very early in the morning," popular scripture, "very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left his house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." And the key phrase I want to look at there is that Jesus went off. Jesus went off. See, he created his own environment. He went off and he created his own environment. And see, we need, and he went off and created his own environment to, you know, spend time with God. We can say, wait a minute, Brett, I don't need to create an environment to spend time with God. I can be at work and spend time with God. I can be anywhere. I could be working out. I could be jogging, spending time with God. God never leaves me. He will be with me. I can always, in everything I do, spend time with God. And Jesus, he didn't have to go off to spend time with God. He could have spent time with God wherever he was at. Well, yeah, that's true. But he didn't. In Mark 1:35, he could have spent time with God exactly where he was at. He could have stayed where he was at, but he went off. He created a different environment for him to be in so that he could get alone, get into a solitary place where he could be alone and he could pray. And so the temptation is to be like, all right, well, if we've got to create our own environments, what better guideline do we have than Mark 1:35? All right, here's the goal. To create our environments, we got to get up early before the sun comes up. We got to go to a solitary place and we got to pray. All right? And so that's what I've got to do because that's what Jesus did. And you know what? It's good enough for me. And so that's kind of the temptation. However, in Luke, it talks about Jesus going away at night into the mountains and praying all night. And so, you know, it's not really about how, but about getting away and creating that environment. All right, the easiest way to misinterpret Scripture is to look at it and look at the Bible and see something it's describing and taking that and prescribing it for your life and mine, making it a have to. And see, that's why Jesus, I think, mixes things up all the time. See, because sometimes, you know, Jesus will say, hey, let's go to your house and I'll heal somebody. Other times, he'll be like, hey, just go, he's already healed, it's all good. All right? Sometimes he'll go pray in by himself. He'll go away in the morning. Sometimes he'll stay up all night. Sometimes he'll heal somebody by touching them. Other times he'll hawk a loogie on the ground, play with it, and then put it in someone's eyes. All right? He mixes things up. He mixes those things up just because, you know, for us to know that, you know, this is just describing something. This is just not something. This is not a certain action that you have to do. And with us creating environments, he created different environments all the time. And so, you know, when we have to create different environments to come close to God and what that looks like, you know, I'm not for sure for you. I'm not for sure for me. It might be for you, you go off jogging by yourself one day. For me, a lot of times, it's just spending time just sitting at the piano doing nothing and just talking to God. You know, that is my environment a lot of times. For some of you, it might just be finding a coat closet and just turning the lights off and shutting the door. Whatever it is, it's probably going to change because it changed for Jesus. And it might change at different times. But if you're not actively creating environments in your life to where you can meet with God, you're probably just simply being affected by the American environment, where you get to your end of your week and you're just like, what did I do again this week? What was this week about? I mean, did I really get anything done this week? Or maybe I did a whole lot of good things, but it doesn't really feel like I'm gaining any ground. I mean, maybe you just do a whole bunch of good tasks, but it doesn't feel like in your spiritual life you're gaining ground. And Christianity is a funny thing. Because, you know what, in order to gain ground or to move along in your Christian walk with Christ, first you have to stop. See, Christianity is not about what you do, but what about Christ has already done. It's not about doing, it's about being. And in order to be in a relationship with Christ, you have to be in an environment to where God can work in your life. And so you need to create those environments in your life. And you might say, Brett, hey, I'm a mother 24/7. All right? I've got kids. All right? You're living in a different world than me. All right? You know, I have all these different tasks to do. And I've got, I don't have time to make an environment. Make it. One of the greatest things you can do if you have kids, is to show them that you have limitations. Show them that you have limitations. Make that environment. Let them know that, you know what, I am not super mom. And a lot of people try and play super mom and super dad and run their kids all over. And, you know what, they try and take them everywhere to all these different tasks. And they think, you know what, I'm serving my kid, I'm doing all these things. But if it's not working for you and if you're struggling, what you're doing is setting an example for them to later on repeat so it won't work for them later on in life. You've got to set an example that, hey, I have to get away. There are times in my life where I have to go to an environment. And when you say no to your kids, I'm in my environment. This is me. This is me time. This is me and God time. This is not you time. When you allow that environment to develop, what you're showing your kid is an example for what they will repeat later on in their life. You have to show your kids limitations. And it's so important that we're going to look at it with the youth for the next Well, we're going to do a series on it this fall, talking about limitations, because this is a problem that kids, that students have. And if you're parents, also, you need to, it's your responsibility to create environments for your kids. It's your responsibility to create those environments, to make those a part of your life. Because students today and children today, man, they're like a 5-year-old at Chuck E. Cheese. All right? They don't even know where to go. They just get there and they got skee ball over here, pizza over here, and they're like, their arms going over here and their legs going over here. Because there's so many good things for kids to do and so many fun activities for the kids to be involved in today. They're just going every which way. And they're running themselves ragged. And you know what? You'll find students doing a whole lot of good things and not being involved in the best thing. And not being involved in eternal things. Because they're not creating environments in their lives to where they can meet with God. And see, that's why our youth next week are going to Colorado. I mean, why are we spending money to go out to Colorado? I mean, can't God work in their life here? Let's hope so. But we're going to Colorado because we believe in Mark 1:35 that Jesus went off for a reason. And the youth are going off for a reason because we're going to create an environment for them so that when they get there, that they will be prepared and they will be in a totally different environment where God can work in their lives. And that's what ministry is. See, Matt doesn't get up here and preach, you know, and that through his sermons, he doesn't change people's lives. What Matt does is he creates an environment to where just simply God can work. And that's what we want to do with the youth. And so, for you guys, you know, I don't know what environment you guys are in. You might be living in a Deuteronomy 6, the American environment, where, you know, everything's going great, but you've forgotten who your provider is. All right? Maybe you are the one in the desert, and you didn't realize it till now. But, you know, you've been struggling, and you've been hurting, and you've realized, you know, maybe I need to create an environment in my life where I need to listen. Because God is trying to speak. Right? Maybe you've realized today that I need to create environments for my kids so that they can hear God. Because, you know, they're running ragged from different environments and I don't know if they're getting anything. I don't know if they're getting anything. Or maybe you need to start a relationship with God. Close your eyes with me. And listen to these words that God has for us. In Matthew 11:28-30. I love this. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, and burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything ill, heavy, or ill fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." That's what God wants. So let's be active about pursuing environments where we can meet with Him. You guys can look up. If you're someone today who feels like you need to come forward and spend some time with God, you're invited to do that now. If you are someone who says, hey, I need to know about having a relationship with Christ, you know, you can do that now. If you are somebody who feels like, you know what, I want to make this environment here my home. You can come do that at this time. So let's stand and sing.